Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Got some good folk, got a good folk lined up for us to be with us for the next half hour. Mr. Matthew Cartwright is a old friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is an attorney with the law firm of Munley and Cartwright in the great state of Pennsylvania. And he's here to talk to us about something that you and I do deal with, many of us do, just about every day. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. As always, Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah. I know you had a good 2004. I'm looking forward to a good 2005. I'm predicting, I'll go ahead and give you a little peek, folks, into my 2005 predictions. I'm predicting that 2005 is going to be better than 2004. The U.S. economy. What do you think?
That's one of the things I like about you, Jim. You're an optimist.
Well, and I'm frequently wrong, but never in doubt. So you don't feel the same way?
I'm an optimist too. I mean, you have to be.
Well, but I don't. That prediction is not a Pollyanna prediction. I really believe that. I think the fundamentals are there.
Well, you know, one of the things about being in charge, you know, small business, big business, law firm, whatever, so many of these things are self-fulfilling prophecies. If you don't think you can do it, you're not going to do it.
Who was it? Somebody said, if you think you can or if you think you can't, either way, you're right.
Well, the other thing is confidence. I mean, I do jury trials all the time. There's 12 people in that box. They know if I'm confident or not.
Right.
I'm not confident. They think, you know, he knows there's something wrong with his case.
Yep. I think you're right. And that's one of the things about small business owners. And I mentioned this previously, is this confidence thing. But, you know, regardless of how much confidence we have in ourselves, and as I said earlier, you know, we have confidence in each other. My audience has confidence in me, and I have in them, and we have in you. And it's part of our culture. But even with all that, it's still important to get the business points of the deal down into some kind of an agreement, to get that contract going. And this is an area that I know we want to talk about today, Matt, is our contracts, small businesses and the contracts that we enter into. And as you know, we enter into contracts for leases. We enter into contracts to purchase things, to sell things, to employ people, to borrow money. A lot of different things that we enter into contracts for, to create alliances, partnerships, that kind of thing. There are a lot of different contracts that we have, and many of them are in writing, but some of them aren't, are they? Some of them are verbal.
Well, that's right. It's astonishing how much business in America gets done with a handshake, and it's legal, and it's binding, and that's why people do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
People don't, you know, and you'll hear a lot of lawyers tell you, well, you know, if it's important, you better get it in writing, and I feel the same way. But the practical reality is a lot of times you can't get it in writing. Maybe it's going to offend your business partner, whoever you're trading with, that suddenly you're asking for something in writing, like you don't trust him.
Yep.
Maybe you don't have that kind of feeling with that person. Maybe you're afraid you're going to wear out your welcome with them or her if you ask for that in writing, and you're afraid you're going to get, what's the matter, you don't trust me?
Yeah.
And maybe you're afraid that the relationship will fall. You don't have that kind of capital with that person that you're able to do that. So sure, an awful lot of business gets done with a handshake, and Jim, you know, when I got out of law school, I thought, well, I'm going to work on these business dispute cases, and there's going to be a lot of interesting points of law we're going to talk about. But you know what? What it boils down to is points of law are easy. They're all breach of contract points of law and a little bit of fraud case. We'll talk about that a little bit. But what it boils down to is proving who's telling the truth and who's not.
See, that's the seems to me that we'd be where the sticky wicket would be. If you and I agree on something, it's not always that there's a witness to that. And so when we come back, I'm going to get you to tell us, how do we deal with that? If it's just you and me out there, you know, hanging out, and we come up with something we want to do together, and we make a commitment to each other, how do we prove that we actually said that? We're going to do that right after these messages with our good friend Matthew Cartwright, 22. Stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He's an attorney, and a good one, too, by the way, folks, in this great state of Pennsylvania. His firm is Munley and Cartwright. And, Matt, why don't you give us your website, please?
Oh, it's easy. It's Munley.com, M-U-N-L-E-Y.com.
And you're licensed in the great state of Pennsylvania, and also at least New York, I know. What else? What other states?
Just those two, but, you know, what happens is if there's a controversy that they need me in or they want me in, I can get waived in for the purposes of that case.
Right, right.
I do that all the time.
Have briefcase will travel, right?
Well, if it's important enough, I will.
Matt, we're talking about contracts. And so let's say you and I are out, you know, we're riding down the road and we decide on, we're talking over business and we agree on something, and I say to you, okay, so here's what we've agreed on. So-and-so, and you're going to get this, and I'm going to get that, and we're going to start next Monday, and et cetera, et cetera. And here, shake my hand, and we shake hands. But it's just the two of us. Can I enforce that contract?
You bet. That is the law of the land. That's law that came over on the Mayflower to this country. A verbal agreement is binding. It doesn't have to be in writing. I'll tell you, Jim, I'm full of cautionary tales about that. The cases that end up on my desk are the ones where people did not get things in writing that they could have and they should have, and they want to enforce. They want to enforce a verbal agreement. I'll tell you a story, a case that I tried this year. These things end up in front of juries. A box of 12 people have to look at all the witnesses and listen to their testimony and sort it out for themselves. But the bottom line is you can win these cases if you have truth on your side. I'll tell you a story of a fellow named Mr. Lee. He had a deal with his banker. Banker promised to finance the expansion of Mr. Lee's business. He was doing, say, about $600,000 in sales. He had an opportunity to expand his business, but he needed the seed money to do it. Banker agreed to do it. This was a loan officer at a small local bank. He agreed to finance the expansion. Lee went out and made all sorts of commitments and really extended himself depending on that capital coming in. It didn't come in. The deal was not in writing. The bank got taken over by a bigger bank, and the verbal agreement went by the wayside. And so did Mr. Lee's company after all of these commitments started coming due. So Mr. Lee ended up in my office, and we ended up in front of a jury. And don't you know, that jury realized what the truth was, and they awarded Mr. Lee a seven-figure verdict against this bank to make it right.
So it wasn't so much that somebody did something intentionally untoward toward Mr. Lee, as much as it was just the way the transaction happened between the two banks sort of left Mr. Lee out in the cold.
Well, that's exactly right. What happened was when you get a bank merger, what you're talking about is new philosophies coming in.
Exactly.
And you end up with a loan officer who kind of have, and this is a theme we used in the trial, is the loan officer who had to choose between honoring his commitment and keeping his job.
Right, right.
And that's that happens in all sorts of different ways that you can't get in writing, you don't have it in writing, and somebody forgets about their verbal promise.
Now, did you sue the loan officer or did you sue the bank?
Both.
Uh-huh.
But obviously the bank was the deep pocket, and they're the ones who ended up making it right.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that not only did the case happen, did you not win the case, but you did it even though the verbal agreement, I mean, it endured to the subsequent owners of that bank. That's an interesting trail there.
Oh, sure. Well, you have to be careful what you buy. Make sure you know what commitments are out there before you buy a business.
I know a guy who negotiated on an airplane, and the guy said, "Okay, I'll sell it to you for this." And the guy that I knew said, "Fine, I'll be back tomorrow or a week or whenever with the money." And he came back when he said he would, and the guy said, "I've changed my mind." And my guy took him to court and got the airplane. Just a verbal agreement.
Well, that's right. And going to court, you know, you end up in Matt Cartwright's office is kind of a last resort, don't you?
Yep.
What do you do to protect yourself when you don't have it in writing and you realize somebody may walk away from this thing? And there's a number of things that you can do. Before we get to those, I will say, if there is a written contract, you really want to make sure that the promises that are coming to you are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we're over the hurdle now where people are not comfortable putting things in writing. If there is a written agreement, people are comfortable putting it in writing.
Right.
To make sure the promises coming to you are in
there. You know, Matt, a quick story on banks. A number of years ago, I went to a banker that I knew and asked him to loan me some money for some real estate. And he agreed to it verbally. And within the next 30 days, as I was putting it all together, he died. Yeah.
Well,
and so I went back to the bank, you know, and I said, guys, here's what happened. It was just me and him in the room. Here's what he said. And in those days, he was having some faith in me in those days. I wasn't as good on paper probably as maybe I would like to have been. He was having a belief. He was believing in me. And you know what they said? They said, whatever he said he would do, that's what we'll do. And they did it. So that was the other side of the story on banks. Sometimes they do what they say they're going to do. Most of the time they do, I should say. 10-10, quick break, right back with Matthew Cartwright. More contracts to come after these messages. We're back at 7-10. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great time with our good friend, Mr. Matthew Cartwright, attorney at law, and I almost said attorney at large, Matthew. But you're not at large. You're only in two states most of the time. And the law firm is Munley & Cartwright, and it's Munley.com. Check out his website. It's probably not your grandfather's attorney's website, by the way, folks. You might want to check that out. And those of you who are Rotarians, as I am, I think you should know that Matthew is also a Rotarian, so that makes him a pretty good guy, right? Just because of that. Matthew, one of the things we want to point out, I gave my little banking story a minute ago about the verbal contract that my bank honored, even after my banker had died. You pointed out something on the break that we need to make sure we get in here. Go ahead.
Well, that's right. It was a fine thing for your bank to do that, to honor that agreement that your officer had made. But one thing people ought to realize is that any agreement, you know, we talk about, yes, verbal agreements are enforceable, and you can go to court over them. We'll talk about how you prove a verbal agreement in court if you have to. But when you're talking about agreements that have anything to do with real estate, They must be in writing. And if they're not in writing, you can't even go to court to fight over them.
Mm-hmm. That's a really important point to make, Matt. Thank you for reminding us of that. All right. Now, tell us how we're going to prove a verbal agreement.
Well, all right. You're in a situation where, and by the way, I want to tell you, everything I tell you kind of goes both ways. I mean, you could be the person who made the promise.
Right.
And you're deciding whether it's enforceable. So that's the kind of wonderful thing about these contract cases. Whoever the plaintiff is whoever happened to get to court first. But, you know, what do you do to protect yourself when you don't have something in writing and you're starting to get a little nervous about whether the person you're trading with is going to honor that or is going to walk away from it because of some other force that's showing up in the world, like a merger or a death, something like that. You don't have it in writing. Well, one thing you can do is you can write memos to yourself. Remember, you're going to end up with your lawyer trying to prove your case in court. You've got truth on your side, but evidence would help, too. And, you know, memos to yourself.
So you're saying to maybe sort of even so if the person you're dealing with, you don't really feel comfortable in asking for a contract, you can sort of make up your own contract through the notes that you take?
Well, that's right, and it's called an implied contract, and that's how one of the ways we won that banking case I just told you about is that the jury found that there was an implied contract between the parties. And one way you do that is you write memos to yourself. You can write letters to the party you're trading with that refer to the agreement that you have.
That's a good idea.
And if they don't come back with a letter saying, I don't know what the heck you're talking about, well, that's good evidence that there is a deal. You tell others about the agreement. Write to others about the agreement, referring to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe most importantly, you act consistent with there being an agreement.
The steps that you take.
Exactly. The steps that you take, that you act exactly in accordance with what your obligations are under the agreement. And you act consistent with you're relying on the other party to fulfill their obligations. If you don't have it in writing, maybe you do have witnesses. Maybe you were in a golf foursome when you made the deal.
What if you came back to the office and told the members of your team what was said? Can they be used as witnesses?
They can. I mean, keep in mind, if they're people that are on your payroll, well, maybe they're not as valuable witnesses because a jury might say, well, they're just saying that to keep a job.
Right.
So keep that in mind. But witnesses are important. Credible people that you know about, make sure they know about the deal because it boils down to 12 people in the box deciding who's telling the truth. And a lot of people, you know, it's a dichotomy. On the one hand, a lot of people say, yeah, I believe, you know, Jim Blasingame, I believe he's telling the truth about having a verbal deal. But on the other hand, if I were him, I would have had that in writing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that goes on in the jury box, and they'll say, well, yeah, I believe the truth is on his side, but if it was me, I would have had it in writing, so... He just doesn't have enough evidence. I'm going to find.
Matt, I got to wrap it up. I hope you'll come back another day. We got more to talk about. Matt Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew Cartwright. Thanks, Matt. See you next time. Quick break. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.